Hello, and welcome back to the Anal Podcast. Today we are doing our 20th Anal Probe segment. Today we are hosted by Rob with joining cast John, Jared, Mike, Katie, and a drop-in from Matthew. Like, subscribe, and review wherever you found our podcast because that gets us noticed and we love to be noticed. If you'd like to hear yourself on the Anal Podcast, go to anchor.fm/analpod. You could hear yourself on the Anal Podcast. Wouldn't that be cool?
Welcome back to the Anal Podcast. I am joined tonight by Katie, John, Mike, and Jared, and we are going to be talking all about the transition of power and how Joe Biden is now our president, and I guess we're so fucking happy about it. Why don't you guys go ahead and introduce yourselves, and we'll get this show on the road.
Hi, I'm John, and I'm so ready.
I'm Mike, and I'm feeling kind of tired, but I'll deal with it.
Everyone, I'm Katie.
Hey, it's Jared. Can't wait for those Democrat-approved bombs to drop.
Communists already worried about bombs. Can't worry about bombs yet. We're worrying about the inauguration. So I know, we all know, the most important thing that happened during the inauguration was Lady Gaga's Mockingjay pin. So let's start there.
Is that's a young adult thing that I don't understand, right?
Was it a Mockingjay pen? I thought it was just a big bird.
It was a giant dove of peace. And by giant, I mean, we've seen it. It's giant. But it did look very similar to the placement and positioning of Katniss Everdeen's Mockingjay pen, which was a symbol of revolution.
Yeah, that's like the only thing I actually saw of the inauguration, and that's exactly what I thought, where my brain went.
I wonder if, like, if she meant it as revolution, does she think that electing Joe Biden is a revolution, or that electing Joe Biden was the opposite of the revolution?
Or that we still need more of a revolution.
If that's what she meant by it.
We don't. Yeah.
In the books and the movies, the Mockingjay is the symbol of the active revolution that's happening. And like whenever she puts three fingers on it, I guess, from what I can remember. And if Lady Gaga had placed three fingers on top of her Mockingjay and then held it out to the crowd, it probably would have been much clearer.
Then we would know, yeah.
And then she would have gotten sued.
So I Googled it, her Twitter, and it is a dove carrying an olive branch.
I thought it was a dove of peace. Now, I do have to say her dress was absolutely awesome. It looked like an upside down rose, and she was the frickin' stem. I thought it was cool.
I mean, she does have good fashion. I mean, that's one of her trademarks, right?
And I think that is about as understated as Lady Gaga gets with one giant bird.
She could have done like a Met Gala thing where she just changes all her outfits as she goes.
She only had one song at that point.
Met Gala is just like a red carpet, though.
Yeah, it was.
Because it's longer.
So Gaga, what did we think of her actual performance, those that seen it? Was she adequate? I thought so.
I thought she did fine.
Oh, Mike saw it.
That's like I said, it's the only thing saw with her singing in there.
That's right. Yeah. Did anyone else watch it at all?
I did. No. I watched the inauguration. I thought that J-Lo did not do so good.
It was not good. I'm familiar with the original song, so I wanted to see how awful it was, and it was worse than I thought somehow.
Huh. Why is that, Jared?
Well, it's like she sang one verse of the song, and then it went into America the Beautiful. Like,
well, she sang all of the important lyrics, right?
Well, yeah, she didn't sing the lyrics that Woody Guthrie wrote, just saying fuck you to private property for some reason, or the one that was questioning how people could still be, you know, homeless and hungry during the Great Depression, but this be the greatest country. Like those verses were gone. But I don't know. I mean, even that song, though, if you think about it and the lyrics, and then you say that to like an indigenous person, you know, I don't think they'd even, as much as I like Woody Guthrie, I mean, I even question, you know, how much that song should even be sung that much these days, just because it has And like, he never joined the Communist Party, but he was definitely, I mean, a sympathizer. Like, he wrote songs for Sacco and Vanzetti, the anarchists that were basically murdered for being anarchists, wrongly accused of a crime. He wrote a song for, the Pavlichenko, I think, like the Russian sniper. She's like the most, like, she's still the sniper.
The most kill count of like any sniper ever.
Is it any sniper or is it just female sniper? I don't recall.
I thought it was like of all snipers.
She killed a lot of Nazis. She killed a lot of Nazis. So he wrote, you know, songs for her.
Female sniper. You're right, female. 309 confirmed kills. Goddamn.
But the song still has a lot of American exceptionalism in it that, you know, someone who is an indigenous that, you know, their people were just murdered so the United States could exist would, I think, find offense to that. So I'm sort of 50-50 on it at this point. But, you know, maybe if they would have included the actual good, the really good, the meaty, juicy verses that really mean something. But that wasn't going to happen at a fucking presidential inauguration.
Also, pretty excited that they did use Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah for, you know.
They did.
Can you explain what that song means? Because I hear people talking about how it was fucked up that they used it, but I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know why either. As a non-Jewish person, I don't know that I could explain it adequately. I can make an attempt here if you'll give me some time. Jared, fill for time. Sing a song or something. Intermission.
Dance, monkey. Dance.
Okay. As I went walking, I saw a sign there. And on the sign, it said, no trespassing. But on the other side, it didn't say nothing. That side was made for you and me. How's that? Is it
anymore? Jared, that was perfect.
That was wonderful. That was absolutely delightful.
It was great.
Terribly depressing.
That's Woody Guthrie, baby. That's what we got to get to the other side of that sign, you know? It's for everybody. So ain't no private. Made it. Ain't no private. It's for everybody.
Can't we just rip down that sign and beat the person to death who made it and claim that land for you and me?
But if you're claiming it, then that it's still perpetuating private property. You can't claim it.
Damn it.
Well, so from Google results, I'm seeing something about the lyrics that are about sex. Like, I don't care if that was played at the inauguration.
But I understand, Biden used to be a real dish.
Well, some people say Trump was, too. Hell, even I used to be attractive.
Times sure do change.
Sure do.
I also have to mention that I have absolutely been loving all the Leslie Knope memes about Biden now that he's in office.
My favorite are the Bernie with mittens.
Bernie with mittens?
Those are carrying me right now.
Did you see the ghost Bernie in mittens?
No, I did not.
Your friend from Arizona.
Oh, Chris. then I don't know how I didn't see that.
You know where he got the mittens, right?
The second grade teacher made them for him.
I think she makes the mittens, and now I'm sure she's sold out.
Forever.
I think she recycles old sweaters and lines them with recycled fleece, and I think she just sent him a pair.
That's what I read.
And then she was surprised that he was wearing them, but he do.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you wear free mittens?
That he was once again wearing this coat?
Well, yeah, right, because that was the thing. It was like, how could Bernie's wearing a $700 jacket, and it's the only coat he owns. How could this socialist wear a nice coat? Because he only has one.
It was just like Rochelle saying about The Rock only having one car. You get a good one, then you only can afford one.
I have more on the Leonard Cohen song. I guess Cohen said that the song needed to just die, and it won't. And then I guess it's been rewritten a lot to include Jesus, which is kind of the opposite of the reason for writing the song, I think, because Cohen intended it to be secular. So it's kind of odd to use it ceremonially. It doesn't really make any sense unless you bastardize it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I guess it's not offensive, but I think it's just kind of like if one were to like piss and vomit on Leonard Cohen's grave, it would be about the same.
Vile.
You know, amount of respect.
There's a lot of covers of this damn song. Holy shit.
Right, yeah. Yeah. I think one might have been on the Shrek soundtrack.
Oh.
Speaking of soundtracks, back to our inaugurational music.
Right.
Garth Brooks also performed a song, and my question is if he asked you to sing a verse with him at home, would you? Because I did. I can't say as though I felt a particular sense of unity, but I gave it a damn shot.
What did he say?
Amazing Grace, and then he re-sang the first verse and asked everyone that was there and everyone at home to sing too in a moment of unity, and he said it really weird, too.
Do you think people there actually were singing? Because, like...
I couldn't tell, but honestly, the people that were there shouldn't be singing anyway, because it's like a plague, and you should to ask everyone who's at a public event to sing is kind of lack of foresight in a plague, because like singing's bad in a plague.
So wait a minute, I got a question here. So Amazing Grace, right?
Right.
That's like a religious song?
No. I think it just has religious connotations, but I don't think it's explicitly religious. I thought it was more of a person of color anthem than it was a religious song. I guess we got some Googling to do.
So it was written by a white guy, right? A black girl saved his life.
It was written by an English poet in 1772, and it is a Christian hymn. It was obtained in the Church of England in 1764, where he began. Wait, who did? Ordained. He was ordained, the guy that did it, John Newton. And it was a popular song used by Baptist and Methodist preachers as part of their evangelizing, especially in the South during the Second Great Awakening in the earliest 19th century. So I guess that kind of explains why I associate it with the South and people of color, because that's what I associate with Baptists.
So then, okay, so it's this it's a religious song. Now, I could be wrong, but I thought fine America, we're supposed to have a little bit of the separation.
So have tons of it, and it sure don't.
Between the church and the state, right? It's supposed to be separate. Like, couldn't Garth Brooks have just sang one of his, what's one of his tunes, Rob, that's famous? I mean, he could have sang one of those, right? I Got Friends in Low Places? That would have been very appropriate.
Well, not at an inauguration, maybe. And honestly,
are you sure?
I'm thinking through like what I can remember of his music, and like what song could he sing? And I just think he would have to be Chris Gaines to sing one of his songs.
It wouldn't do "And the Thunder Rolls" to make it all dramatic.
J Lo could sing along to the first song you sang, Jared.
Oh God, that was not good.
She said things in Spanish.
Yeah, but I thought. Wasn't it the Pledge of Allegiance? Isn't that what we decided?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Which she said it was.
And she definitely put God in it.
She did.
So even better.
Another thing that happened that I was absolutely delighted to see, Dr. Anthony Fauci went up to the podium today and was able to speak freely. And when he was asked by a reporter about the difference, he said it was very nice to be able to stand up there and be guided by science. Isn't that a refreshing change?
So I have a question about that. So what's the point of his position then?
Dr. Fauci right now.
Dr. Fauci, who's been at his position as I'm sorry, Rob. What exactly is his position?
Well, he was part of the COVID task force until the COVID task force stopped being a thing.
But I thought he's had the same position in the government for like decades, right?
Well, he is one of the leads in epidemiology. I can't remember his exact title, but he was in charge of the HIV and AIDS whenever it started, and trying to figure out what was going on. Essentially the same thing he did in the beginning of.
I mean, he's been there since like Reagan, right?
Like 40 years.
Is my point, right? So he's had this big position in government that's supposed to be about stopping, you know, infectious diseases. But it seems to, like, again, I guess my question is, what the fuck is the point of his position where...
Really sure that that's his position. He's more like a chief scientific advisor, I think. Because all of that should be falling down to the CDC and the other... but as far as what his position is under the Biden cabinet... I still don't know exactly what it is. I do believe at this point he is going to be stepping up to the podium a couple times a week and talking, from the way the press secretary made it sound, which I think is good. We the people need to understand what's happening in our country, especially when it comes to the current plague. And we don't at all, not even with the vaccine distribution. So I think currently Fauci's position is a little less epidemiological and more the face of the coronavirus team, because Fauci pulls incredibly high. He pulls higher than Biden when it comes to public trust, and way higher than Trump when it comes to public trust.
Oh, shocking.
I think that the Biden administration understands that Biden could stand up there and spout platitudes, and it's not going to be as effective as putting Fauci up there when people know and trust Fauci. And especially the people who don't trust Fauci probably aren't the intellectuals that need to. So the people that do trust Fauci should be science-minded enough and not anti-intellectual to understand what he says is probably the right thing. Now, we all make mistakes, but when he was also at the podium, he was asked a question and he said, "Hey, I'm not here to make up answers. That's not how science works. I will find an answer and come back to it," or something along those lines. I quoted it on my Twitter.
The kind of bigger point, I guess I'm trying to make here is with people like Fauci in government, where you have Trump, you have Reagan, that can essentially like kneecap any sort of scientific valid-based response to diseases. Like, what's the fucking point?
Well, I think that that's exactly the point, that that was able to happen in the first place. And I think the reason he got as much time as a podium as he did today is the Biden administration trying to show like that's not how it's supposed to work. It's supposed to work more like this. I really believe that truth might be drifting into some politics in some places, at least when the virus is concerned.
If, you know, in 4 years we get a Republican and then science goes out the window again, like, what's the point of having science? Like, it just seems ridiculous to me that we have these people in government and they're supposed to be these scientists that give us these policies, but like, they're still completely beholden to whatever political,
the president of the United States tells them to do.
Yeah, whatever bullshit is in it.
Yeah, that's fucked. I agree.
You know, so again, I think that's just sort of the overall.
I think a better case in point for that would be Dr. Redfield of the CDC. He literally was kowtowed into non-existence, what the Trump administration forced him to do in the name of corporate America and against the people of America. I mean, quite frankly, is kind of criminal, and I would hope. I know the Biden administration let him go immediately, so that's good. But that, I think, is more of the problem, that the CDC as an institution was undermined by POTUS. Fauci got shut down whenever he spoke out against the president at the podium with the president behind him, and then Fauci never got to speak again. And he was banned from going onto the talk show circuit to try to tell America what the deal was.
I mean, I guess the question is, why are these people that are supposed to be protecting the welfare of like all Americans beholden to some asshole that switches every 48 years instead of the actual American people itself, I guess is the.
And the president should be our, we should be his boss, but we're not.
Well, I mean, should we though? Because again,
I don't know.
Only rich white men that owned property were allowed to even vote or hold office. And the whole Electoral College exists so that regular people can't vote for the president for real. So, you know.
Either way, Dr. Fauci spoke truth. I don't know what his real position is. I think he is more a liaison to the people at this point about coronavirus.
Well, I'm hoping that if someone tries to get him a lie again, he doesn't do it. It's kind of shitty that he stuck around even though Trump made him lie. Or
can you provide an example in where Fauci actually lied? I know that he said things that were not in line, but there were times where we didn't know what was going on with the virus.
Well, I recall that he was pressured to not tell people to wear masks because we didn't have the capability. Basically, because it was more of a fear of running out of masks because America just doesn't give a fuck about people to produce enough.
I am fairly certain that the right propagated that against Fauci, because if I remember correctly, that was the Surgeon General who originally said normal people shouldn't wear masks. So I will have to double check that, but I'm fairly certain that came from the Surgeon General, who was also asked to step down.
Oh, if it is the case that Fauci did do that, or they both did it or whatever, a lie by omission is still a lie. So, you know, not saying something is still lying. It's a lower form of it. But
I agree. But yeah. I'm fairly certain I remember Fauci saying that, you know, it wasn't that you shouldn't wear a mask, but don't hoard N95s. They need them for the medical professionals. It was more about not getting N95s in normal people's hands when they're supposed to be staying at home for 45 days because the people, the sacrificial workers, needed them. Don't quote me on that. I just vaguely remember Fauci saying that, but I know for sure it was the Surgeon General who said you don't have to wear a mask, like, stay at home. And then he came out and was like, okay, never mind, face covering. Here's how you make it. Here's how you wear it.
Take the shirt off your back.
So, I mean, so here's a quote. Let me see. This could be completely off the rails. So on June 12th, journalist Catherine Ross questioned Fauci, why are we told later in the spring to wear them, the masks, when we were initially told not to? Fauci responded, the reason for that was that we were concerned. The public health community, and many people were saying this, were concerned that it was at a time when personal protective equipment were in very short supply. So Fauci said that his reason for misleading the American public was that they wanted to make sure healthcare workers had priority access to personal protective equipment. While a lie is a lie, its rationale is reasonable. Yet the very same interview with 60 Minutes, Fauci had already warned that everyone wearing masks could lead to shortages. And that's from a Mint Press News article on Fauci.
That sounds pretty much in line with what I remember. I didn't know that he lied outright, but
I mean,
well, if it's the PPE, that's a little different than the specific N95. To a layperson that doesn't know what PPE means, it just means personal protective equipment. It doesn't mean like these specific things because
I pulled up Jerome Adams, and essentially he said he did what he did because he wanted to convince people he was not trying to take away your freedom. So I like Fauci's reason a little better, but either way, I know for sure Chris Redfield of the CDC, gonzo. Jerome Adams, Surgeon General, gonzo.
You know, these people are not beholden to the people. They're beholden to like these capitalist interests. Like he has to like lie to the American people because the capitalists don't give a shit about us to produce enough protective equipment for everyone.
Then they still don't.
Until, right? But, you know, but now he's like, fuck it, he doesn't lie anymore. But, you know, again, it's just, we supposedly have these doctors, we have these scientists in these positions, and they're still beholden to corporate interests, I guess, is the communist point I'm trying to make.
No, I think you're absolutely correct.
I won't harp on it anymore. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I think that you are definitely correct. But I think that even if I was a 40-year veteran of the government and the president was breathing down my neck, I'd probably struggle to rail against him.
Well, exactly. Yeah. But again, it's just like, then why is he beholden to the, like, why is this beholden to the president? It just seems if your job is to protect American people for diseases, but every time you get a shithead president doesn't care, like, just thousands of people die. I mean, two epidemics happen, right? You have AIDS and you have COVID, and like the presidents don't give a shit, and you're just, you can't do anything. Like, why do you exist in this government then? Like, when you're not allowed to do your fucking job because they don't believe it, or it looks bad, or, you know, we actually don't have enough PPE. So, you know, just fucking lie to everybody for a while. Like, it's just have some fucking yes man. Like, why even have a scientist? Or does it, having a scientist
add validation? Maybe
it's like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. You know,
well, I mean, he had Dr. Atlas come in and start giving medical advice when he's a goddamn radiologist.
I mean, I guess at least these judges can sort of do whatever the fuck they want, right? Because that's sort of,
yeah.
Like the Supreme Court, you throw these conservatives and then they just do a couple liberal things every once in a while. Like, oh, gotcha. You got nothing on me, bro. I can do whatever I want till I'm dead. You know, if Fauci apparently is not beholden to such, you know, such rules, he's still kind of shackled by whoever his boss is at the time, which, I mean, hopefully Biden will be better, but, you know.
Yeah, hopefully. Today, I know whenever he was talking, he was asked some pretty hard questions that I want the answer to. And his answer was, I don't know, but I will find the answer for you. And I appreciate hearing things like that. Now, the question is, will we hear the answer?
Yes. Yeah.
Does anyone I just had this weird thought last night. Like, what if Joe Biden treats this presidency as if he is an old man trying to get into heaven? So he actually starts passing working on trying to pass bills.
That's a fucking wonderful thought.
Getting like support for things. Like, I don't know. I mean, it's like a 0.001% chance, but it would be cool if he was
Mike, I love it. Joe Biden watched The Good Place and he's like, son of a bitch, I gotta get my points up fast.
I gotta undo that crime bill that I wrote.
That's at least -1 million.
It sure is.
I like that, Mike. I think that is an excellent fanfic novel premise.
Send that to Chuck Tingle.
Yeah.
Jeff Biden having sex with his own conscience.
Yeah. That would be pretty great.
I bet if anyone could write something like that, it could be Chuck Tingle. That is for sure. So, something I never thought I'd say in my whole goddamn life, guys, but let's have a little talk about press secretaries, shall we?
What do we have another one?
Yes, her name is Jen Psaki, and I have watched every press briefing that she has done so far.
Isn't that redheaded lady?
She has made a couple missteps, and she was very quick to immediately admit her mistake, correct them at the podium when she realized, and the one that she did not realize at the podium, she immediately corrected on the official press secretary Twitter, which is a nice change. Keep in mind, while this press secretary is doing her job pretty aptly from what it used to be prior to the last 4 years,
the revolving door?
Kayleigh McEnany is freaking out on Twitter calling her a liar. What does Kayleigh McEnany have still? Why is she bothering? She's done now, right?
Trump TV, baby. Let's go.
She's auditioning.
But I just find it so almost shameful that she's still defending what the Trump administration did on her Twitter. Like, she still has a job.
We all know these people don't have, shame or whatever. They'll do whatever. They don't care. They don't give a shit.
Money talks. You know, it can quiet all of the shame in the world.
True money, baby.
Baby!
Well, just how depressing is it that, I guess we're all gung-ho that a fucking press secretary is just doing the bare minimum, just the absolute bare minimum that a press secretary should be doing. And we're like, yes.
To be fair point, Jared.
Do we think that Joe Biden paid Trump to be president so that he could be president next and just automatically be great by default?
Oh my God!
Trump to be president. That's so good.
Oh my God.
Yeah, maybe.
What if Biden, he secretly hates Hillary and he got Trump to run because he didn't want Hillary to win. So Biden knew then he could run in 4 years and win.
You really should tell Q that.
Hillary would, Hillary would let him smell her.
Vengeance.
Matthew, welcome to the Anal Podcast. Thanks for dropping in for us tonight. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
Did you let Joe Biden smell you?
Did I let him smell me or would I let him smell me?
Well, actually, both, yeah.
I did not, but, he can take a whiff.
Whoa.
That's good to know. So, Matthew, a little later, I have a couple questions for you, but we have an organized list of things that we're working through, and today we are talking about the new press secretary, Jen Psaki. Know anything about Miss Jen Psaki?
No, I haven't watched her at all.
I am reading through some of her transcripts right now because there was a couple missteps that she had.
Is she a tool?
I think so. She works for the government, but it's a nice return. We were just discussing how it's a bizarre return to normal, how we're pleased that the press secretary is doing the bare minimum of her job, and we're thrilled about it.
Just the bare minimum. It's so wonderful. The bare minimum. Wonderful.
So, here's one particular interaction where Judy Woodruff said, "So much else to ask about, Jen. Certainly the pandemic has affected the economy. The president is talking about an economic relief package. But as you know, Republicans are already pushing back, saying it's not targeted enough, especially these $1,400 direct payments. Is President Biden prepared to compromise as necessary in order to get some more help out there?" And then her answer is, "Well, Judy, the package was designed, and it is a large package. Nobody is denying that, certainly not the president. But it was designed with the advice of economists and the advice of health experts on what was required for this moment in the crisis the country is facing. As you noted, it's the pandemic. It's also an economic crisis, but about half of the package is for the unemployment insurance. There's money in there for vaccine distributions, for reopening schools, and the tricky question here is, what exactly do you want to cut? No one wants to be having a conversation in May or June about why schools aren't reopening, as an example. He's doing what, how he thinks the process should work, and frankly, how it hasn't worked in some time, which is the President of the United States lays out his proposal, lays out the parameters of what he thinks should happen based on the advice of policy experts. Then he has a discussion with Congress. They have a discussion with each other. And rarely does the sausage look exactly like it does coming out the machine as it did going in. He is certainly prepared for that, but we're at early stages now. We will continue to have those conversations in the days ahead. So that was just one example of the, you know, 40 some questions she took. As far as
sausage bit made me hungry.
All I heard was big package and sausage.
Rob,
I guess my example was Far Cry from McElhaney.
Wait, are you just talking about the thing that you said was blank that he signed earlier about the schools, or is that something else?
Totally something else. This is
That was the COVID. I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah. This was about the $1.9 trillion package. The person asked that said Republicans are always already pushing back. And she got snarky when she answered the question. She's like, what do you want to cut? You want to cut the schools? You want to cut the vaccine? Or you want to cut unemployment insurance?
Military. How about the military? We don't need bases Never. In every country.
Military is not in the package, oh. Is it?
Wasn't it, though, in other packages?
Well, yeah, but that's not the one we have on the table, which is the one that matters,
so,
I guess.
So we don't have a militarized package, or we do?
We do. That got vetoed and signed.
That was a sex joke.
Oh. But anywho, I guess we will be hearing more from Jen Psaki because she is supposedly going to be doing these conferences every day. So
who's the guy that's in the Biden cabinet that basically like is Mr. Raytheon, but no one talks about it? Is it the second?
Can you unpack Mr. Raytheon for our listeners?
Wasn't that one of those failed pharmaceutical companies? That wasn't. Or am I thinking of the other one where that woman Theranos? I think I'm thinking of Theranos. Is she part of this?
Oh, so it's the defense secretary. Yeah, Lloyd Austin. He stands to collect as much as $1.7 million connected with Leaving Raytheon Technologies Group, which is just they make weapons to bomb things. And that guy's going to control some foreign policy. That sounds like a no conflict of interest there.
Sounds pretty much like normal.
No, exactly, right? It's exactly normal. Exactly
it
normal.
Sounds- perfectly standard.
That's what the liberals want, though, right? A return to normal.
So
there you go.
Just the happy bombs that Chris Evans signs.
I mean, if you're gonna make them, you got to use them. What are we gonna do with all the bombs? You just can't sit there.
It's true.
Use your brain.
Smoke them if you got them.
Yeah, I know. It's gonna be interesting to see what that 100 days we have to reopen schools thing. Like, that just seems.
I don't think we will have a problem in this country with reopening schools as long as we don't get the South African variant. Fauci explained today a little bit about the cushion effect, and that variant is not. The vaccine's going to work for it. It's fine, but the fact that mutation has pushed the cushion is not necessarily great. And that's the one that affects children, the South African variant.
I mean, it's just the thing is we understand that the best way to combat this is to avoid contact. So instead of forcing schools to reopen, what if you just, I don't know, nationalized internet and basically use this time to build up the infrastructure as a public utility to make sure students could complete the rest of their term online instead of forcing them back into school. Of course, that would also involve probably having to pay parents some money so a parent could stay home and
I shouldn't have to tell you this, but we live in a capitalist economy, and if mom and dad can't go work, then we've got problems. So get those little bastards in school and away from their parents so they can go start making pennies.
Say, like, that's the whole weird part about sending them back, though. That, like, in the long run, will just make parents have to miss more work. And, like,
well, they get to go today, right now, like they need to, just like every entitled American needs to do everything right now. At least that's what I think.
Now, what's amazing is a neighbor of Katie's and mine, he was laid off for a while, and then he finally went back to work, and like his first day back to work, he got COVID on the job.
Oh, no.
And
oh,
like,
sweet.
gave it to his entire family over Thanksgiving, and it's just...
His whole family got COVID.
Yeah, and like their one son had like a friend over, and so had to stay for like 2 more weeks.
Oh my god.
Wow.
I bet his parents were like, woohoo!
Yeah, they were super pumped, probably. But it's, you know, it's like we talk about this and, you know, okay, the kids go back to school, parents go back to work, but then like parents get COVID at work. Like, it's just because that's not safe. So you send the kids to where it's not safe and you send the parents to where it's not safe. And it's just...
You say you send the kids where it's not safe, and I used to think the exact same thing, but there have been a lot of studies done, and it really does appear as though kids follow the fucking rules. The schools are not huge vectors for transmission. What seems to happen more often in schools is that the teachers go out to eat after school and they get COVID. But the transmission student to student is incredibly low. And I honestly, when the COVID first came, I thought schools reopening was going to be a humongous, humongous driver. And the clinical science behind it says that it is not a large contributor to the spread.
Do you think, will they get like in trouble if they don't wear a mask?
Well, I just think kids know how to listen.
Oh.
It's that simple. Mm.
Which is really weird because, I mean, the Zoomer memes that I see are pretty depressing and like they want to die, which is the opposite of how they're handling this pandemic, like being extra safe.
Well, from the kids that I've talked to, they want to go back to school. If wearing a mask means they don't have to stay at home with their parents, they're true. Down.
Yeah, right.
They just want to fuck off from their parents. Okay.
Yeah, they're down for it.
Well, see, I think that my situation is probably a little tainted because I'm in higher ed. So, I mean, college kids don't give a fuck.
We just like, want party.
They just want to make bad. It's their time to make bad decisions. So,
it's the first time legitimately away from home. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, in the fall semester before it started, when COVID was, I mean, I don't know, pretty much the same, right? Because it hasn't gotten any better. Like it was parties in the weekends before school started.
Well, yeah, and I think it just further illustrates. I just think kids know how to listen. The only thing that does confuse me is I'm not sure how lunch works in general. I mean, they had to have found a way for it to work out that the transmission isn't out of control because the science would have.
Well, but again, I mean, if the students just take their masks off to eat and then put them back on, unlike what boomers in a restaurant that just leave it off the whole time and cough on their waitstaff or whatever and don't give a shit.
Taking your mask off, periods. The transmission. So like even cramming the kids all into a single room and having them eat is a risk without proper ventilation.
Right.
So.
But I mean, I guess even if they're just trying to be as quick as they can to just have like when they're not masked, right? Just eat and then you're done, mask back on. I mean, we even got takeout today and I picked it up from like the burger place and it was just, you know, right now where we are, it's at 50% capacity. So I walk in to get my takeout and there's just people eating
everywhere.
I mean, not everywhere, but it's still like I feel so bad for these wait staff because they're all in masks and these people are just sitting eating bullshitting. Like I feel like there should be a rule, like if you're not actually eating, you should
put your mask on.
Your mask should be on.
We can't get people to put the mask on in the first fucking place. Now we're gonna tell them when and where and how. Come on,
I know. My freedom.
Right. Matthew, I actually have a relatively specific question for you. I appreciate you dropping in. I'm sorry to make you wait. What okay. would you, what advice would you have for an individual, say, took a picture on Snapchat with a firearm that they legally own, and the next day is raided by the FBI and arrested and put on $50,000 bond? What do you do then? Oh, and your public defender's not going to be around until the day before your trial.
Yeah, so it says not intended to be legal advice, and I'm not intending to form a attorney-client relationship or anybody this might pertain to. In that situation...
This is for opinion only, correct? That's how this works?
Correct.
Thank you.
Best thing to do, shut up, and you're probably going to sit in jail for a little while until your attorney can get involved and get a hold of you. That's just the basic reality of it. As far as fabrication of evidence, I mean, you're going to have to start tracking and...
Well, the technology goblins have gotten Matthew, and or the FBI has gone ahead and shut off his feet.
They're like, no.
Now that the FBI...
You're going to get arrested, sorry.
So, now that the FBI has prevented Matthew from telling us his opinion on what would be wise for someone in that situation, so far, all I have is shut up, go to jail, track, and retrace.
Well,
yeah, hold on.
It's just, I wonder how much they're just... I mean, what's probably happening is they're just scanning for keywords... or for, you know, images, because they have the software and shit that, you know, I think there's a guy warned us about that he's in some embassy and he's just in Russia or something.
What's his name?
Is that the guy I'm thinking of? Is Ed something? Is Ed Winters?
Ed Snowman? Ed Snowman.
Snowman. Yeah, Ed Snowman.
Do we build him or make him?
Hello?
We build him.
I'm pretty sure. Oh, is that Matthew? Matthew, are you
back?
Oh,
you know, wait, maybe.
Oh, God,
no. He dropped.
I think I heard him very quickly say, "We build him," which okay, was the only important thing, really.
I had to disconnect and reconnect, technology problems.
That's okay. All I have so far is shut up, go to jail, track, retrace.
Yeah, I mean, this is like a classic, you know, cliche example almost of... You know what, you're factually innocent, you know what you, and the only thing you can do is get ready to prove it. And so there's a lot of investigation that you have to do on your own part. I mean, when I say your own part, I mean with the help of counsel and contacting people.
So that'll be available for 8 hours.
So is this one of those classic things that just only poor people go to jail for?
Yes.
I mean, only poor people stay in jail.
Okay,
for.
Stay in jail. Sorry. I'm sorry. Yes. Stay in jail.
I do believe that they were able to bond out at a ridiculously high rate. And the downside to that is when they got out, the FBI had done things to cause them both to lose their jobs. I also believe they're losing their place to live. Yeah, it's actually pretty fucking heinous what's happening. Wait, over a single
they
Snapchat
lost their
image
jobs?
Of people.
They,
both of them, yes.
But this was just like, yeah, that's weird. I mean, yeah. and that's the only, I mean, that's it. It was just that snap.
That's all I've seen, and that's all she mentioned, and my mom is the closest thing they have to counsel at this point, because it was made clear there will be no public defender until the day before the trial.
Is that
it's weird.
Legally all right?
As long as you have one.
Yeah.
You are just required to be provided one. They don't have to provide one for you months early so they can actually do their job, I don't think.
I mean, again, the FBI just, you know, murders people that they don't like, so, yeah, it's...
I guess we should consider ourselves lucky then that they just lost their jobs.
That's just, man, well...
Railroading for, like, the very minor thing that happened. Especially, like, you know, they didn't even storm a Capitol or anything.
Right? And the something else that I find is bizarre is the one individual took the picture of the other individual. The individual who had his picture taken is the one that went to jail. The individual who took the picture and sent the Snapchat is the one that had, like, the rest of their life assaulted, lost their job.
It sounds almost like somebody, like, they pissed someone off on the internet and they got doxxed or something.
Well, see, and that's my question, too, because usually when people lose jobs, it's of, like, public outcry. Like, oh, yeah. You're a Nazi or you're a pedo or what, you're something reprehensible. And
keep in mind, I live in Podunk, middle of nowhere, and the FBI shows up at your work, you get fired, whether they're there for a good reason or not. And we are in a will-to-work state, mind you.
That's kind of a fair point, actually.
Yeah, like, if the FBI is involved, you must have done a shitty thing.
Goodbye.
Yeah, well, especially if they were working at a place that didn't, like, have to actually follow rules, where you can be fired for, like, literally anything.
Wait, there are rules in our state?
If you're not rich enough, yes, there are rules.
We're a right-to-work state now, so there are no rules. Right?
Well, see, I don't know, because Biden says he's changing all of that federally in the Save America bullcrap and baloney.
I mean, Instacart just fired how many people? 2,000?
Really?
How many was it?
I saw that. Because they dared to discuss unionizing.
They fired every person that voted to unionize.
Unbelievable.
Is it?
Nah, it's just par for the course.
No, it's not. Matthew, thank you very much for your opinion on that situation. It is pretty interesting how a single image that meant no harm has completely destroyed two individuals' lives at this point.
Yeah, and I mean, there's probably a whole heck of a lot more to unpack from that.
Well, at this point, as far as that situation's concerned in my head, what's done is done, and ain't nobody going to be apologizing and saying my mistake. So bend over, lube up, and get ready. So that's pretty much my advice to them. And I'm also going to tell them they should probably just shut up, go to trail, track, retrace.
Yep.
Sounds like a good opinion and a plan.
No phone calls. A lot of people screw themselves with phone calls.
Oh, because they're listening, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Matt, is Steve Avery guilty?
Ooh. You want to do a whole episode?
Yes.
It's a yes or no question.
I'll have my mom on for it. No, don't answer him. Make him wait.
I'm not a big fan of delayed gratification, Matthew. Makes me angry.
Matthew, what do you think about President Biden's first couple days in office and his overwhelming amount of executive orders and the America Save America's Ass Act or whatever it is?
I don't care. I buy into shit after it's already done. When I start seeing something come of it, you know, I'll believe it when I see it kind of person. So something comes of it, then cool.
And there have been some nice rollbacks that supposedly allow people to do things that they were allowed to do 4 years ago. And I hope to see those individuals return to those things.
Yeah, but, you know, supposedly he shut down the wall project, yet they're still actively doing it. So.
Right.
You know, we'll see.
I mean, there's still no Medicare for all. So, and we're in a pandemic.
There's not going to be.
He's going to veto that. Yeah.
And also people with nonviolent marijuana charges are still in jail also. So
they're going to work on it for 4 years. I'm sure. And then it's going to be like, oh no, we couldn't get enough Republicans behind us to help us because of course the first thing that happens when you campaign that like, we have to win these Senate seats so we can do the stuff we want to do. We got to win these two seats. So you get those $2,000 checks. Remember that number, 2,000, because you're going to get 2,000. Remember, it's 2,000. No, it's no other numbers. Remember 2,000. And then they win. And then Biden's like, hey, listen, we got to get across the aisle and we got to make sure that we let Republicans know that we still just do whatever they want. Like, what do you mean? Like, you just ran to say, let's tell America they want Democrats to do what Democrats want to do. Like, that's. What? Sorry, that was another.
Jared, let me.
You okay, Jared? You want to talk about
it? It's fine.
Everything's fine. It just seems like why? I mean, granted, I know why, because it was like millions of dollars that was in various people's pockets, right? To pay for these campaigns to get them elected. But it's just, you know, it's. The Democrats like to be an opposition party, and when they're in power, they still think they're an opposition party. And like, oh no, we have to compromise immediately. No, can't you try to do something first, and then if that fails, you compromise?
Aren't we also in like a weird state of compromise because we're perfectly split, like the perfectly split tenant. Isn't that like a weird thing that's like not common?
Well, I don't know if we're perfectly split because Democrat, there's already what? Which is the Democrat that's like, oh, no, we're not going to get $2,000. Like he's already like, fuck yeah. Everyone.
Like, yeah, well, there's a, Bernie has a Republican in his you know,
pocket
for
in his
that,
mittens.
So,
in his yeah. mittens.
That's why they were so big and glorious. Yeah, it's all fucked up.
Well, again, that's the problem because you have these like really conservative Democrats that you know won't go along with the bare
blue dogs.
Yeah, like the bare minimum progressive shit already. It's just, you know, you say you have 50-50, but it's not really 50-50, right?
Well, it isn't really 50-50 because it has to have a tiebreaker, and that would be the VP. So it makes it 51-50.
Right, but I'm talking in the sense that...
That's 101%.
Well, I'm talking... Correct. I mean, on paper, the Democrats have the majority. Like, if every...
But any Democrat and any Republican can oppose the party and do whatever the
right,
hell they
which
want.
Is already...
Well, it's all
which
on
coincidentally,
paper.
Surprisingly, is already causing the Democrats problems because they don't want to go along with the Democrats. What a shock. They'd rather be more conservative. So funny that.
Funny that.
Conservative Democrats.
Hey, do you remember when Obama had like that super majority for a couple years and didn't do shit?
Two entire years.
Wasn't it like a super mega majority?
Yeah, and he was like, you know what we shouldn't do right now? Medicare for all. We should not even try.
Clearly wasn't even the time. Not with a super mega majority. You would hardly have to work for it.
Too yeah. easy, Rob. Not worth my time. Too easy.
Hey, nothing worth doing is ever easy.
You got me. It's true.
Yeah. Everyone, sign off. Well, say your sign off. Do something new. I don't know. This will get edited.
Peace.
We did it.
We did it.
Yay. We did it.
Thank you, listeners, for joining us on the 20th Anal Probe segment. You can follow us on Twitter at A New American LE1. Join us this Wednesday for a Woo or an In Lieu of Woo segment. Do you have a question for a cast member? You can email us at anewamericanlegacy@gmail.com. Hey, do you enjoy the Anal Podcast? Then do us a favor and tell a friend. Don't forget to subscribe. It helps us get noticed. We love to get noticed. And as always, listener, please stay safe out there.